Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Kuf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Gimel. You will notice a Mishnah beginning with the word Chotchin. Let us mention that we are dealing here with Mishnayos that make a distinction between the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash regarding different activities. And the this topic continues onto Amud Beis, where we have another Mishnah that features this contrast aspect, and then we will also see situations where they are the same, where the Mikdash and Medina are both, as the Mishnah will say, kan v'kan osur. We continue with the Mishnah. Chotchin yabeles b'mikdosh avalo b'medina. One is allowed to cut off a yabeles, a type of wart or growth, that when it's found on a sacrifice or on a kohen, it represents a mum. In the case of the sacrifice, it would render it unfit for offering. In the case of a kohen, it would render him unfit for service. So this mission is discussing the removal of the yabeles, and this can be done b'mikdosh avolo b'medina, the removal of a mum, of a wart, or of a yabeles. We'll refer to it henceforth as a yabeles, is outside the Beis HaMikdash, would be forbidden. And as we mentioned, the removal here is, we're talking about a removal of this yabeles by hand and not with an implement. The Mishnah goes on to say, v'im b'kli kan v'kan osur. Thinking about removing with a vessel, with an implement, it will be usur not only outside the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Showing us that removal with a vessel, with an implement, that is the normal way. And Rashi terms this a tolda, an offshoot of the malacha of gozes, of shearing. Shearing is where one removes the wool from sheep. But the principle is removing the growth from where it grows, from its point of growth. So to the removal of this yabeles is the removal of a growth from its source. If, however, it's done by hand, makes the kohen or the sheep fit for offering, which falls under the category of mesakein, of what in the Hilchos Shabbos comes under the general heading of makim bepatish, where something that was unfit or dysfunctional, you repair it. That is a problem vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos. That's called mesakein, fixing something. Since it's done kilachar yad, since it's done in an unusual fashion, kilachar yad is an expression meaning the unusual way, a way other than the normal way, which is the case when you talk about the removal of the wart by hand. Since the normal way is using a knife, a scalpel, to cut it off, and here you'd be doing it by hand, that removes it from the realm of an isur doraisa, of a Torah prohibition, and classifies it as a shivus, as an isur derabbanan. Hence, in the Beis HaMikdash, the kilachar yad approach will be allowed. However, outside the Beis HaMikdash, it nevertheless remains an Isur Derabbanan. As we've seen in the past, when you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, we say on many occasions, Ein Shvus BaMikdash, that rabbinic prohibitions often the rabbis never impose their restrictions in the Beis HaMikdash. So the removal of this Yabeles for the purpose of a Kohen serving or for the enabling a sacrifice to be offered will be okay if you do it by hand. The Gemara asks, and before we begin the Gemara, let's just glance at the side under our topic heading, the no say. The job of the Gemara is liyashev stira. The Gemara will first raise a contradiction and then attempt to resolve the contradiction. Binyan chatichas yabeles mikorban, regarding the removal of a yabeles from a sacrifice. Before the animal is sacrificed, we're dealing, of course, with a live animal. And the question is, can one remove the yabeles? Mishnasenu equals mutter. Psochim, this is a reference to a Tanaic source from Maseches Psochim, and reference is made to the Korban Pesach, but that source represents osur, represents a stringency. So we have to resolve. Our Mishnah says it's allowed, and the Mishnah in Psochim says it's not allowed. After we raise the contradiction, we'll notice diamonds that appear in the Gemara, in our markings, and under our Mivneh heading, we've written, these are Tirutzim Liyashev Astira. We'll see answers. And throughout the Gemara, there actually will be four approaches on this Omid to resolve that contradiction. So we take a look now at the beginning of the Gemara, Viraminu. We raise a contradiction. Har Kavosoi V'Havosoi Michutz L'Tchum V'Chatichas Yabelto Ein Doichen. 3 points are made here. Har Kavoso is the carrying of a Korban Pesach. A Korban Pesach is a sacrifice that one can offer on Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan comes out on a Shabbos, so it is brought. So the Mishnah is mentioning, though, in Psochim, that the carrying of the Korban Pesach and the bringing of it from outside the Tchum, the carrying involves carrying it through a Rishus HaRabim and bringing it from outside the Tchum, if you didn't bring it to Yerushalayim before Shabbos, and removing a Yabeles, are not Doche, Ein Dochen, are not Doche Shabbos. In other words, you have to have it, according to this source, you have to have the Korban Pesach on hand and ready to go before Shabbos sets in. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Dochen. Rabbi Eliezer is Mekil and says that you can bring it. You can bring it from, you can carry it through Rosh Hashanah, you can bring it from outside the Tchum, and you can remove the Yabeles. It's no surprise to us that Rabbi Eliezer is Mekil, because we have seen Shitas Rabbi Eliezer as holding Machshirei Mitzvah Doichen Es HaShabbos, that stages that are preparatory in the performance of a mitzvah, if that mitzvah is supposed to be done on Shabbos, if the basic mitzvah is Doche Shabbos, even the preparatory stages will be Doche Shabbos, will overrule or supersede Shabbos. The stira, though, is from the fact that in this source there's an unnamed section before Rabbi Eliezer. We call this a Stam Mishnah. The Stam, the unnamed section, says Ein Doichen, and included in that, and follow our markings, we dashed underline the Chatichas Yabelto is not Doche, and our Mishnah says Chotchin Yabeles B'Mikdash. So how do we resolve this? Rabbi Eliezer V'Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. We have two Amoroyim. The diamonds represent each one, without associating a name with the answer. Chad Omar, one says, Ha v'ha, both sources, Belecha. You're dealing with a Yabeles that is literally wet or damp, meaning it's fresh, as opposed to something that is dried out. So both are talking about lecha, velo kashya, and there is no contradiction. Ha biyad, ha bikli. Our Mishnah, which is lenient, is talking about the removal of the yabelas lecha by hand. And the Mishnah in Psachim is talking about its removal with a knife. And as we said earlier, the knife method, the use for removal involves a Torah level violation. Before we go any further, we have a little chart in the margin, and you'll notice on the right hand side of the chart we have the word chomur and underneath it the word kal. Chomur meaning stringent, kal meaning lenient or easier. If you go across this chart, you have chomur. Included in chomur will be the use of an implement. Psachim is a reference to the Mishnah Psachim, which is restrictive. And lecha, a yabeles that is fleshy, as opposed to dehydrated, as opposed to dried out. Kal, the second line, reads, it's easier to talk about the removal if you do it by hand. Yad, it would be more likelihood to find a leniency with regard to Yad. Mishnah Seinu, our Mishnah represents allowance, and Yevesha be the abelis that's dehydrated, that's totally dried out, that its removal isn't even considered removal per se, because it's considered in your mind's eye as if it's not there, because it simply crumbles away when you remove it. It simply crumbles away because of its extreme dryness. So that is an easier thing to allow. That chart should be very helpful by way of setting up a perspective. So that we just learned a resolution of the two sources. According to the first diamond, both sources are talking about a yabeles lecha, a fleshy, fresh, wet, we said before. The word lecha is simply the opposite of yevesha. Yevesha is something that's totally dried out. So both sources are talking about, we'll call it the more serious situation. However, if you are going to remove it by hand, which is the unusual way, we can be makil. And the Psachim source describes the removal by using a knife, and hence it is restrictive. The Chad Omar. Now we have another approach, a second approach to resolve the Mishnah with the Mishnah and Psachim. Both are talking about removal of yabeles by hand. The lo kashya, and still there is no contradiction. Ha belecha, ha biyavesha. Mishnah Psachim would be prohibiting the hand removal of a lecha. And by the way, this approach then is more restrictive than the approach just before, because the approach just before was allowing the removal of a lecha, provided you do it by hand. This approach is saying no. Since it's lecha, you cannot remove it, even though you're doing it by hand. Ha biyavesha. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, is talking about yavesha. It's talking about removal of a dry one. And as we said already before, that the removal of dry one is grounds for extreme leniency. Another observation, the difference between these two diamond responses is that the second response, even though you're dealing with something that's rabbinic, that's using a hand removal, which we said is kilach hayad, still no one is going to allow the hand removal of a lecha. The our Mishnah that provides for an allowance, that's only with regard to a dry one. But a lecha one? No. That, so the second diamond represents an opinion of chumrah, of stringency. There's the point that we made. You can see this also in Rashi, where Rashi says that even though it is a hand removal, we're nevertheless machmir. We continue. At this point, the Gemara will be evaluating the two answers through the eyes of the other opinion. And you'll see that we have a double underlined marking where we highlight the expression mai taima, where the question is, why does each one not accept the other one's resolution? So the Gemara, ulamandi omar ha biyad ha bikli, that was the number one corresponds to the one near the first diamond, according to the number one approach that said that the difference was hand versus implement, but both sources were talking about a lecha. My taima lo omar ha belecha ha biyavesha. Why did basically the number one diamond not answer like the number two diamond? Why did he not say that both are talking about hand, manual removal? And the distinction between the two sources is simply that one is Lecha and one is Yevesha, where the Mishnah Psachim is assuring hand removal of Lecha, and our Mishnah is allowing hand removal of Yevesha. So why didn't approach number one say that? Omar Loch, he will answer, Yevesha, if you're talking about the removal of a Yevesha, Afilu bekli nami shori. You can even use a knife for that. So that to suggest that the source is trying to reveal some type of novel idea by allowing hand removal of Yevesha, that's too obvious, we'll say, because you could have gone even further. If you want to talk about a Yevesha, you can allow even vessel or implement use. My time, why is it allowed? Efruchi ifrucha. It crumbles. It's as we said before, in your mind's eye, it's considered it's already gone. It's already removed. Because when you remove a dry one, it simply crumbles away. It's not really a significant act of removal of something that's already in your mind's eye, not there. So that's why approach one did not suggest the answer of the resolution as given by approach number two, because approach number two is suggesting that the pshat in our Mishnah is basically, in the eyes of approach number one, it's anticlimactic. Now we turn our attention to diamond number two and ask, why doesn't he say the resolution as presented by diamond number one? Ulaman diomar according to approach two that said both sources are dealing with manual removal, and that the Mishnah Psachim, which is restrictive, is talking about a lecha, and our Mishnah, which is lenient, is talking only about Yevesha. My taima lo omar, why did he not say like approach number one, namely that both are talking about lecha and ha biyad ha bikli? Omar Loch, so approach number two will answer, Bekli, as far as setting up the Mishnah in Psochim to tell us that a Lecha Kli removal is prohibited, Hotnan, we have that taught already in our Mishnah. So to avoid redundancy, approach number two gave his answer. Hotnan, it says already in our Mishnah, im bikli kan vikan osir. If you are going to be using an implement, both in the Medina and in the Mikdash, it's osir. So to suggest that the Mishnah in Psachim is revealing, like approach number one had said that implement use to remove alecha is forbidden, well, our Mishnah already says that. So approach number two gave his approach, and not the approach of number one, which would have been simply repetitious, would have and were set up the Mishnayos as being repetitious. The Idach, approach number one, has to now counter this argument, or has to respond, well, are you not setting up the Mishnah in Psachim as basically as repetitious or redundant? So he answers, Ha dekotoni hasam, that which the Mishnah in Psachim makes reference to the use of an implement, Mishum dekaboi iflugi Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbonan, it wanted to feature Shitas Rabbi Eliezer in contrast to the Rabbonim. Flugi means the achmachlokis, the controversy between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbonim, but the agenda of the Mishnah and Psachim wasn't necessary to highlight the prohibition of the Chachomim, of the Rabbonon, in banning the use of the vessel, of the implement, or the knife, for the lecha removal, but rather to show how far Rabbi Eliezer goes in allowing the use of the implement in removing even a lecha. So number one explains, he justifies his explanation of the Mishnah Psachim, and there is no redundancy. The Idach, approach number two, why does he stick with his approach? Approach number two, which said that Psachim, the Mishnah Psachim, was dealing with a lecha hand removal and ossering it. He says that you have to explain the Mishnah Psachim in the context of the other items mentioned in that source. If you look back to the beginning of the Gemara, you can see there were three points mentioned in that source. In addition to the Chatichas Yabelto, there was also Harkovosoi and Havosoi Michutz Latchum. So he feels that the halacha concerning the Yabeles removal must be similar dumyo daharkevoi vahavoso michutz l'tchum kotoni derabonan, where these other activities, the carrying of it, even though it's in a rishus harabim, and the bringing of it from outside the tchum, are both rabbinic level violations. So approach number two wants to feature the chatichas yabeles that Psochim forbids in a rabbinic light. Approach number one set up the Psochim the Psochim source as talking about a knife removal of Alecha, which is a Doraisa issue, whereas approach number two didn't want to set up the case of the Chatichas Yabelto in a Do'oraisa, in a Torah-level fashion, because the other examples in the Mishnah and Psachim were rabbinic in nature. What are the other examples? The Harkovoso. And when we speak about carrying, we are usually, we are accustomed to understanding, if you carry something in Rishus HaRabim, that's a Torah-level prohibition. However, since we're talking about carrying a live animal, we're talking about carrying the Korban Pesach, the sheep, before it's slaughtered, there's a concept known as Chai Nosei Es Atzmo, that if you carry something that's living, you carry a person, you carry an animal, it assists, so to speak, by repositioning its body when you are carrying it, so you are only an accessory to the act of carrying and not doing it exclusively. As a result of that, carrying a live thing, even though it's in Rishus Rabbim, it's considered the Rabbonon, according to this approach. And the issue of bringing something from outside its tchum is also a rabbinic level violation. Hence, approach number two felt that the Chatichas Yabeles featured in Maseches Psachim also has to be a rabbinic type violation. And hence, he comes to his pshat that we're talking about a manual removal of a lecha, Yabeles lecha. The Idach, V'idach is approach number one. Does he not take into consideration that when you have a series of examples, they should be of a like nature? And if we just heard that Har Kovoso and Avosim Michutz HaTchum are Derabbanan, so why does approach number one set up the third example in Masechet Pesachim, referring to the Yabelis removal, as talking about a Lecha knife removal, which is Doraisa? So he answers, in fact, the other examples are also Doraisa level issues. They're also Torah level issues. And how is that? Har Kevoi, or Har Kovoso, the carrying of it in the Rishus Rabbim, the Lo Karebi Nosen Domer Achai Noisias Atzmoi. The number one approach feels that the opinion of the Mishnah and Psochim is one that does not accept Rabbi Nosson, who is the author of the idea that we elaborated on before of Chai Noisi Es Atzmo. So if you deny Chai Noisi Es Atzmo, that a living thing helps in its own transport, so then you are the exclusive carrier of that animal. And hence that makes your action of carrying the animal in Shusar Rabbim an Isur Doraisa. Similar to the Chatichas Yabeles Lecha Bikli. And Hava also Michutz L'Tchum, the issue of bringing the animal from beyond the Tchum, to Rabbi Akiva. This is a source that conforms to the approach of Rabbi Akiva, Domar Tchumin D'Oraisa, that in fact it's a Torah level prohibition to carry something or to have something brought in from beyond its Tchum. So all three are in fact the Oraisa examples, justifying the diamond number one's description of Maseches Pesachim with regard to the Chatichas Yabelto as being a Yabelis Lecha Bekli. Mosiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, and you'll notice we have triangles, and on the side of our Gemara under the Mivneh heading, the triangles represent Kushios al Hatirutzin. These are challenges to whatever answers we may have seen before. So Rav Yosef raises a question. Mosif Rav Yosef, Omar Rebbe Eliezer, Kal v'chomer. Rebbe Eliezer had mentioned in Masechet Pesachim that these things are doiche Shabbos. So Rav Yosef presents Rebbe Eliezer and how he argues his point, and he says as follows: I'm Rebbe Eliezer, Kal v'chomer. Mind you, shchita, slaughtering an animal which is a malacha. It's a full-fledged Torah violation, unless otherwise sanctioned, as is the case with a Korban Pesach, that you're allowed to shecht it, but if you were to shecht something else, shecht any other animal for your personal use, that would be a malacha, a Torah-level prohibition. So Rabbi Eliezer tries to advance his point as follows and says, mind you, shechita, which is a malacha that is which is a full-blown malacha, and yet we allow you to do that on Shabbos for the sake of the Korban Pesach, elu shemishum shvus, eino din shiyidchu es haShabbos. The other examples, including, and let's focus on the main point, the other things, including the Chatichas Yabeles, which is only the Rabbonon, certainly should be doiche es haShabbos. So we see from Rav Yosef's citation of this Mishnah Pesachim that the example of Chatichas Yabeles must be something that we would describe on a rabbinic level. So, therefore, you can't set up the Mishnah in Pesachim as talking about a Chatichas Yabeles Lecha Bekli. Well, so Rav Yosef knocks out that approach, the approach that set up the Mishnah in Pesachim as talking about which we saw in diamond number one, the Chatichas Yabeles Lecha Besakin. The nature of the Mishnah, for you can see how Rabbi Eliezer, who also appeared in the Mishnah Pesachim, is regarding Chatichas Yabeles as an act that's Oser Midirabboni, calling it a Shavus, which is an expression referring to a rabbinic prohibition. So Rabbi Lezer, he was arguing his point, but we see by the way that the example of Chatichas Yabelis and Psachim must be of a rabbinic nature and not a Torah level nature. Elo Omar Rav Yosef. Here we have another diamond because he represents a third resolution of the two sources, our Mishnah versus the Mishnah Psachim. Ha v'ha biyad. Both are talking about manual removal. Ushvus the mikdash ba mikdash hetiru. Ushvus the mikdash ba medina lo hetiru. A rabbinic action, something that's otherwise objected to rabbinically, if you're doing a shvus de mikdash, which would mean a beis hamikdash related matter, and you're doing it in the mikdash, that is allowed. However, the Korban Pesach, it's true that it's a shvus de mikdash insofar that as that you're dealing with something that's sanctified. That's mikdash, is something sanctified. However, the preparation of the Korban Pesach is being that every person brought his personal Korban Pesach. It wasn't part of the animals. They weren't like the daily public sacrifices which are kept in a pen in the Beis HaMikdash, but rather the Korban Pesach was something people brought from their homes. So that its preparation is something you do outside the Beis HaMikdash. Including the preparation is seeing to it that it's mum free. So since that's a shvus de mikdash ba medina, meaning outside the Beis HaMikdash, lo hitiru, that we do not allow. And that's the pshat in the Mishnah in Psachim. Yosef Abaye v'ko'omar l'ho shmaitza. Abaye was sitting, and he said over Rav Yosef's approach. Esve Rav Safra Abaye. You notice we have triangles with colored in tips. These are, we have indicated under our Mivneh heading, that these are Kushos al Yishuvo Shor Rav Yosef. These are challenges to Rav Yosef's resolution. So Rav Safra raises the following question. This is a Mishnah that we saw not too long ago. Someone is reading from a sefer, a holy scroll, on a stoop. And if the one end of the scroll becomes unfolded and rolls away from you, it rolls down, say, toward a Rishut HaRabim. It's, the source says you can roll it back. It's not considered as if you're taking it from a Rishus HaRabim because the other end is still in your hands. It's not an item that's completely fallen into the Rishus HaRabim. So you're dealing with something that would be an Isur Durabonan, if you will. V'hohocha, the Shvus, the Mikdash, the Medina Hu. Here we're dealing with something that is, since you're dealing with a sefer, so it's classified as mikdash, something sanctified. It's a holy scroll. It's like a sefer Torah. So it's classified as something mikdash. However, you're reading it outside. You're reading it at home. So that's Bamedina. It's an example of shvus, the mikdash, Bamedina. We should point out that if it wasn't a holy scroll, so we wouldn't let you roll it back because we're afraid that if where part of it is outside, you would bring it back. You'll come to bring it back even if the whole thing falls into the Rishus HaRabim. But since we're talking about a holy scroll and the prohibition when one end is still in your hand is only rabbinic in general, and here, since we're talking about a holy scroll, we allow you to roll it back. So what do we see? We're dealing with something we can classify as a shvus de mikdash babadina. The lo gazrinon, and we don't impose any restriction, dilma, nofil, the osi, let's say that, don't roll it back because it might completely fall out on some other occasion and you'll come to carry it inside, which would then be a Torah level violation. So what do we see? We see that shvus de mikdash Bamedina is not grounds for restriction. And whereas Rav Yosef had said that the Mishnah in Psachim, which was restrictive, was talking about that very thing, a Shvusta Mikdash Bamedina. The Gemara answers, if you're trying to challenge Rav Yosef from the case of Hoyakuri B'Sefer Al-Skupah, we in the past have dealt with that source, and we set up the source as follows. Velo ukimno, did we not already set up that source by Askupa Carmelis? Urshus harabim oiveres lefoneha? That the stoop was not like we thought was a private domain, but it's a Carmelis. It's a rabbinic domain, and a public thoroughfare is running in front of it. The cave on the Igdo Biyodoi. Since you are holding one end of the scroll still in your hand, afilu shvus nami leka. We're dealing with a situation that is not even usur. It's not usur even midrabanan. It's a totally allowed case. If we just go over this answer in a little bit more detail, imagine in that Askupa Carmelis case, the entire scroll rolled out of your hand and you carried it back from the public thoroughfare to the stoop. That itself would be only rabbinically prohibited. That's not a Torah offense. So that what we would call the worst case scenario, the maximum severity would be rabbinic. In a case where one end of the scroll is still in your hand, where the whole item hasn't fallen into the Rishus Rabim, that it goes a notch down, so to speak, in severity, where it's not even Osir Midrabonan. So you can't the fact that we are Makil in the case of Hoyakur B'Sefer Al-Skupa doesn't show that we should be Makil in the case of a hand removal of a Yabeles of a Korban Pesach, which you do in your house. That would remain usur. Again, reinstating Rav Yosef's explanation. Question. Eisvei, Mishalshalin es ha-Pesach latanur im chashecha. The Korban Pesach was eaten outside the Beis Hamikdash, was eaten in within the confines of Yerushalayim, and it was to be roasted. And if you have a, let's say it's, it's a Korban Pesach day that falls out on a Friday. So this Mishnah is telling us that you would lower the Korban Pesach into the oven where it will roast before sundown of Friday, and it will continue roasting through the first few hours of Shabbos night, Friday night, when people will celebrate their Seder with the Korban Pesach. Now, in general, there is a fear that if you set food up to be roasted on coals, that a person might come to stoke the coals. And as a result, we wouldn't ordinarily allow things to be set up like that. Rashi says, "Mishalshin litzlo sovu yutzla matzmo," and the Korban Pesach will roast by its will roast on its own. "Ubabasur d'alman rinon," when it comes to mundane common meat, we say, "Ein solin basur batzel lebeitza elikadesh yitzol mibol yom." We say that you can't set up a roasting of meat unless it gets roasted while it's still Friday. We don't want the roasting to continue into Shabbos. Gzeiro shema yechta b'gecholim. The fear being that if we do allow that, you'll come to stoke the coals. Stoking the coals would be an isur d'oraisa. And yet, what do we see when it comes to the Korban Pesach? That you can, mishalshin means lower it into the tanur, im hashecha, just before Shabbos sets in. So you set up and it gets roasted on its own. And this is something that, in general, would be an isur derabonan. Vehahacha, dishvus de mikdash b'medina hu. Here's an example of something that is in general rabbinically prohibited, but you are doing it in the context of a mikdash, of a sacrifice, which is sanctifying. You're doing it b'medina, outside the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't impose any restriction. So is this not a challenge to Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef said that Shvus de Mikdash Bamedina is prohibited. Here we see a Shvus de Mikdash Bamedina not prohibited. Ishtik. Abaye remained silent. Ki also the comment of Rav Yosef, when Abaye came to Rav Yosef, Omar le, hochi Omar li, Rav Safra. Thusly said to Rav Safra to me, challenged your teaching. Omar le. So Rav Yosef says, he says to Abaye, my time lo tishni le, why did you not answer on my behalf? B'nei chabura zrizen heim. The B'nei chabura, the people that get together to eat a korban pesach, they eat in a chabura, is a group of people, a pre-appointed group of people. And that zrizin means they are diligent. So that the people who get together to eat a korban pesach are especially diligent. And therefore, in that particular case, we can be lenient. But as far as the yabeles removal, which is something someone does privately, has nothing to do with diligence, that will remain prohibited. The Abaye, what's Abaye's response? Kohanim's reason, hein amrina. The concept of diligence is something that applies to Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, that with regard to Kohen service, they are extremely diligent. However, B'nei Chaburah's reason, hein lo amrina, but this concept that Rav Yosef just suggested is something I don't accept. I don't believe that. That you can rely on the diligence of the B'nei Chaburah to restrain themselves from stoking the coals. And therefore, in Abaye's eyes, Rav Safra's objection was still very strong, that we see Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina, we see as something that we can be lenient with. And therefore, Rav Yosef's setup of the Mishnah Psochem as talking about a hand removal of the Yabelis Lecha, and the reason for the prohibition is because you were dealing with the Korban Pesach, which is something you do at home, classifying it as a Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina, something to be stringent with, that doesn't seem to hold up against what we see in Tanaic sources, at least in Abaye's mind, that Shvus de Mikdash b'Medina is something we can in fact be makil with. Rava Omar. Rava is approach number 4, another resolution. And he says, Omar, Rabbi Eliezer, our Mishnah, which seemed to be lenient with regard to the Yabeles removal, our Mishnah happens to be the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, the Omar, Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Machshirei Mitzvah Deuchenes HaShabbos. That preparatory stages leading up to mitzvah performance, if it's a mitzvah whose basic performance will override Shabbos, so the preparatory stages also will override Shabbos. The offering of a Korban Pesach, if the 14th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, is something that is done, even though it involves slaughtering and other melachos. Nevertheless, the Torah dictates it shall be done on Shabbos. So the preparatory stages, for example, the removal of a Yabeles, if that's what will make it acceptable, can also be done on Shabbos. Now you'll ask, if that's the case, why does our Mishnah restrict the use of a knife? Mishnah said that Bekli is Osir. So the explanation is as follows. Umoide Rabbi Lezer, de kamo de efshu l'shenuye mishaninon. Wherever it's possible to do something in the unusual way, we will strive to do it that way. In simple terms, this is considered called having your cake and eat it too. In other words, if you can achieve the results of making the animal fit for offering by having the yabeles removed, and you can do so without violating a Torah level method, so do it in the non-Torah level method. Do it manually. Again, that's the explanation for our Mishnah, setting it up like Rebbe Eliezer, and that's why our Mishnah represents a leniency. As you can see, Rebbe Eliezer is lenient. He appeared in the Mishnah in Pesachim quite explicitly as being lenient. So our Mishnah reflects Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. As far as we're just being a little repetitious here, and as far as the Mishnah's objection to using a kli, this is based on the idea of kama defshul shnuye mishaninan. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. My he. The question Rashi explains is, from where do we know that Rebbe Eliezer, who is extremely lenient in the realm of Machshir Mitzvah, that he concedes that where you can do it b'shinui, where you can do it in the unusual fashion, so do it that way. Doing something in the unusual way, as we mentioned at the opening of today's shir, is called kilachar yad, and since it's not done in the since the action is not done in the usual manner, it takes it out of the realm of an isur doraisa. It reduces the severity. So what is the basis or the source in which we can see Shitas Rebbe Eliezer holding that wherever you can do it b'shinui, opt to do it thusly? The Gemara answers. Take note of the fact that this is a long answer. The Gemara will go through stages in trying to understand this unnamed source, according to whom is it in fact taught. And the point of this answer is to bring us to the conclusion that this source is in accordance with Rebbe Eliezer. As we go through this particular sukkah, there is quite a bit of give and take, as you can see through the markings in a few lines from now. Triangles will appear, and they will they'll be explained in a few minutes. Desanya, Kohen she'olsa bo yabelis. A Kohen who developed a yabelis, which we said is a mum that would prevent him from serving in the base of Eikdosh. Chaveroi choitcha loy b'shinov. And we're talking about on Shabbos. Chaveroi means his fellow Kohen can bite it off. Might sound a little disgusting, but that's what it says here. He can bite it off. B'shinov in b'klilo. And we infer, use your teeth, yes, but using an implement, no. Chaveroi in ihulo. And another form of shinoi is have your friend do it, don't do it to yourself. Money, who is the author of this? Now, before we go on, let's take a look at Rashi on the second line from the top. Bashinov in the shvus hu, that's merely rabbinic in nature. Bekli lo, don't use an implement. Vafilu b'shinov, and even though we've already gone to one stage of shinui using teeth, chavero in the ihulo, have your friend do it. Don't do it to yourself. The chavero lo misakein le shapir. Your friend isn't going to do such a good job. In other words, when you're doing it to yourself, so you'll be more exact, more accurate, more detailed, and hence the chavero represents another notch down in severity. Thusly, the same issue comes up in Maseches Shabbos, the Pligi Rebbe Eliezer Rabbanan, the Noted Tziponav Zubazu, Obashinov, where the Gemara discusses one who removes his fingernails, one hand removing the fingernail from the other hand, or by using your teeth. Rebbe Eliezer Mechayev Chatos, V'chachomim Osrin Mishum Shvus. You notice, it's an interesting phenomenon here that Rebbe Eliezer, in that case, which is not a mitzvah-related matter at all, moving fingernails has nothing to do with mitzvahs, then Rebbe Eliezer assumes a very very severe, very strict approach, where he says if one does it either by hand or using your teeth in the fingernail removal, that a person is said to be in violation of a Torah-level prohibition, and hence he would have to bring a sin offering. V'chachomim Oser Mishum Shvus. And the Chachomim in that case say that that is rabbinic. V'kim nohosam, t'chim mechayev Rabbi Elazar, and the Gemara explains, Masechta Shabbos, that under what circumstances does Rabbi Elazar say is chayev achatos? Benotil atzmo, where you remove it for yourself. You do your own fingernail removal. Avol lechavero divrei kol poter. But if you are doing it to your friend, everyone will agree that it is not a Torah level violation. Poter means he's exempt from bringing a korban chatas. So now we look back in our Gemara, where we have a Tanaic source that speaks about the removal of a yabeles, and one is allowed to do it, chavero, and only bishinov. Money. Who is the author of that? The double underline represents stages in trying to establish who is the author. Ilema Rabbanon Uva Mikdash. If you were to think that this source with the Kohen Yabelis removal is according to the Rabbanon who argue with Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbanon, and it's in the Mikdash. Well, Kevon the Amri Rabbanon Be'almu Mishum Shavus, since the Rabbanon say in general that regarding, let's say, a non-mitzvah matter, this would be a rabbinic level violation. This is what we saw before with regard to the finger removal, where we saw machlokis revelation the chacham fingernail removal, that is, the fingernail removal, where the chachamim were makil with regard to Rebbe Elazar. Since the Rabbanon said, in general, Be'almo means outside the base of English, Mishum Shavus, where it's purely rabbinic in nature, the hand, the manual removal, whether it's your friend that does it, or you do it to yourself, or you do it by teeth. Hocha, here in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, Ma Li Hu Ma Li Chavero, why would there be any distinction made between yourself or your friend? You should be allowed to do it to yourself. And yet the source doesn't allow you to do it for yourself, to yourself. Elolav, and maybe we should just back up for 1 second, in trying to set it up like the Rabbanon, it's true that in the Rabbanon hold that in general, this kind of removal, either teeth or manual removal, would be a rabbinic violation. That's the Alma. Here in the Beis HaMikdash, where in general we say Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. And that's why the Rabbanon would allow whatever they would ban in general. If in general it's rabbinic, they would allow it. And being that the Rabbanon hold that self-removal, like in the case of fingernails, is only rabbinic, as opposed to Rebbe Elazar, who said that's Doraisa, the rabbis who say, the Rabbanon who argue with the Rebbe Elazar say that's only rabbinic, why in this source is there an insistence on Chavero when you yourself, the Kohen himself, could have removed his own Yabeles? Elolav, rather, Rabbi Elazar, this source is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar. The Omar, Be'almo, Chayev Chatos. That in general, that means, like we saw in Rashi, the Gemara in Shabbos, that speaks about fingernail removal, that Be'almo, this action, Chayev Chatos. This type of action, if it were a matter of personal needs, as opposed to Devar Mitzvah, would be Chayev Chatos. For example, one removing his own fingernails. V'hocha, here, where we're dealing with a Devar Mitzvah, and we're in the Beis HaMikdash, or we'll say here where it's a Devar Mitzvah, Afagav de Machshirei Mitzvah Doichenes HaShabbos, even though from the mitzvah standpoint, machshire mitzvah, according to Rabbi Elazar, overrule Shabbos, and here we're talking about getting a kohen ready for serving in the Beis HaMikdash. That would fall under the category of machshire mitzvah. So that in principle, the yabelis removal could be allowed in the most normal way that you would do it during a weekday. Nevertheless, if there is an option available to do it in an unusual way, to notch it down to something of a rabbinic nature altogether, do it that way. Oh, so this is the basis of Rava's explanation. So Rava is the one that had pointed that out, that Shitas Rebbe Elazar is that even though he holds Machshirei Mitzvah Derechanes Shabbos, come Devshelishnei Mishanim, where you can do it in an unusual way, do it that way. We must make note of the markings. We mentioned the double underlines or stages in trying to understand the source. The triangles you can see on the side under our Mivneh heading, where the triangle point faces upwards, it's Mivases Es Rava. It serves as a basis to strengthen Rava's position. And the inverted triangles, as you can see, they represent Kusha, a challenge to that. So there's the style of this Gemara. As you go down, you'll see a back and forth discussion. Can we suggest a basis for Rava, or possibly no? And this focus, in the meantime, we're focusing on this source, on the Braisa that was in the frame on the top line, having set it up till now, like Rebbe Eliezer holding Machshir Mitzvah Derech HaShavos Avar Kamed Evshel Shnei Mishaninon. And that will serve as the explanation of our Mishnah, which says that Chatichas Yabeles Beyad is allowed. The Gemara goes on, says Loi Leolam Rabbanan. So here another double underline, which is another stage in setting up that that source, and says no, the source at the top is in accordance with the Rabbanan, meaning not Rebbe Eliezer, and therefore there was no basis for Rava's Hesber. Now, we asked before, if it's according to the Rabbanan, so why was the source insisting on Chavero doing the removal? The person could have removed it for himself, just like we saw the Shitas Rabbanan in Masechet Shabbos, that you can remove your own fingernails, or let's backtrack there, that your self-removal of fingernails is only an Isur de Rabbanan, and in the Beis HaMikdash that should be allowed. So why is the source on the top, if it's according to the Rabbanan, saying only Chavero? The Gemara says, you know, you're right. You could do it to yourself, but the source is talking about a case where physically it's impossible. Ve'i also bekreso hachinami. If it was, kreso literally is on his belly, it would mean something, a part of his anatomy that he has access to, where he could pull it off the yabelis by a manual self-yabelis removal. Go ahead and do it that way. Hacha b'mayaskin, on the source at the top, that is said Chavero should do it, is kegoin de ol shalsa loy neshicha begaboy uvatzile yodov. It's where the problem is on your back, it's on the Kohen's back, or it's on his elbows. Diu lo motzi shokil le'ba, where he cannot remove it himself. So Chavero was only because that's the only option for this particular Kohen. Question: the E Rabbanan. Well, if you're going to set it up like the Rabbanan, so that you can see the triangle repositions itself, because the setting up like the Rabbanan represented a problem for Rava. Here's a challenge to the setup like the Rabbanan, which is beneficial to Rava. The E Rabbanan. If that source, in fact, is like you're trying to say, is the Rabbanan, Nishkale Nihale Beyad. Why does the friend remove it by teeth? Shouldn't he do a hand removal? And then we said before, or we should have said before, that a hand removal is more efficient than a teeth removal. So if it's according to the Rabbanan, why dafka do we say by teeth? According to the Chachomim, hand, even though it's a hand is only an Isur Darabonon, and since we're talking about the Kohen and the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Shvus BaMikdash, a hand removal should have been allowed, and by saying that, by setting it up like the Rabbonon and Biyad, the Tifshot, the Rebbe Elazar, and then resolve or give basis for Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar here is an Amora, not to be confused with Rebbe Elazar the Tana. Let us then conclude that which Rebbe Elazar says, the Omer Rebbe Elazar, Machlokes Biyad, Aval Bekli, Divrei HaKol Chayov. Machlokes, this is a reference to the fingernail removal that we saw alluded to quoted in Rashi from Maseches Shabbos. So the Amora Rebbe Elazar says that the machlokes between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachomim in Maseches Shabbos regarding fingernail removal is their machlokes concerns hand removal, as opposed to using a scissors, for example, where Rebbe Eliezer says that's an Isur Doraisa. And the Chachomim hold it's an Isur Derabonan. Aval Bekli Divrei Kol Chayav regarding scissor fingernail removal or nail clipper fingernail removal, the Chachomim will be Moide that is an Isur Doraisa, Moide to Rebbe Eliezer. So, if that source at the top is in fact, according to the Rabbonan, it would have been of greater benefit to speak about, instead of Shinov, to speak about hand removal to show us that Shitas HaRabbonon holds that hand removal is only Osir Midrabbonon. Let us take a look at the Rashi on this, who is fairly elaborate. Rashi says, "Hochi Garsinon, the I Rabbonon, Lishkele Nihale Biyad, the Tifshot de Rebbe Elazar v'chule." We have a bracketed section. We've skipped this for a moment. It says in the Rashi, three lines, "I Amris Rabbonon, the Taimo Bekli Loi." If you say that the source is according to Rabbonon and the reason not to use a vessel, an implement, Mishum, because their position as opposed to Rebbe Elazar is that Machshirin are not going to override that which is Osir Midoraisa. Rabbonon Ashvus Hu Demahadri, and the Rabbonon are seeking out that which would otherwise be Osir only Midorabbonon. Ne'i De'ihu Gufe Mishanile, granted regarding the person himself removing it, we've already explained that it has to be his friend because it's on his back or it's on his elbows. And how did we explain that? Delo efshel mishkalei debagabohu. The reason that ihu gufe, that he himself can't do it, is because it's on his back. Chaveru miol shaminon denot lo biyad. At least, granted, his friend is employed over here, but tell us that the friend is doing it by hand instead of teeth. The manual, the hand removal, is also derabbanan. The hachi shapir lemisni, and this would be better to teach instead of teeth. The shaminon minei tarti, we would be able to derive two things from this. Chada demachshirin shvus doch v'lo av melacha. The case of the Kohen would be showing us that in the realm of Machshirin, something that's only rabbinic can be overridden. That's the removal of the Yabelis Beshinui and not Bekli. And do it that Kidamash Malon Hashta, as we are understanding it now. They're not Matir, the removal in the Kedarko fashion. The Oid Shaminon Mina, and further, had the source taught biyado, and it's according to the Rabbanan as you wanted to say, so midashori le biyad velo bekli, from the fact that we would be allowing using removal by hand and not through implement, dehochi who this would be the chachomim. This would be the chachomim l'shitasim that are machshir, that hold that shvus, that machshir mitzvah doiches shvus. We would learn that hand is okay since it's not deoraisa. And Rashi goes on to say, "V'lo b'kli, the hachi hu k'derev elazar diomar hasam b'per kamatzniyah." Regarding the fingernail removal, it says in Masechah Shabbos Machlokes Biyad, Avol Bikli Modu Rabbanan Dechayav Chatos. This is the this comes out like the Amora Rebbe Elazar we saw before. Who says that the machlokis there is hand removal, vessel removal? Everyone agrees is doraisa. They're modu rabbanon chayav chatos. The chashmina they told the gozes as the gozes at semer. The rabbanon concede that using a knife to remove a scissors to remove the fingernails would be chayav chatos, being that it's a tolda, that's an outgrowth of gozes at semer shul choltech min amuchub lebalei chayim. So all of that would have been great had the source, as you said, been according to the Rabbanan, but it would have taught hand removal. Avol hashta, but now that you're talking about biting off the yabelis with your teeth, lo motzinu lemifshite mina, we can't establish that which the Amora Rebbe Elazar has said that their machlokas concerns hand removal, ula medak, and then infer the ha de bekli lo mishul da'av melochahu, that which the vessel is not allowed is because that's an av melochah. Da'biyad nami shvutsu veloka sharile. If you're going to tell me teeth removal, I don't know. I still don't know about hand. Maybe hand removal is also usser, and I wouldn't be able to infer that which the Amora Rebbe Elazar has said that the machloikis concerns yad, because as far as this source is concerned, it's telling me that the only thing we're basically allowing is teeth removal. When it comes to hand removal, maybe that would not be allowed. So let us now go back to the Gemara. We continue. Actually, before we continue, let's just reread the last upright triangle that we read. The Rabbanon, if, as you're trying to argue against Rava, that the source is according to the Rabbanon, Nishkele Nihale Biyad, let the source teach that the Yabelis removal is done by hand, the Tifshot, the Rebbe Elazar, and then use this as a basis for the Amora Rebbe Elazar, the Amora Rebbe Elazar has said, Machlokis Biyad, the Machlokis in Masechet Shabbos regarding fingernail removal is if it's removed, if one removes it by hand. Avol Bekli, Divrei HaKol Chayav. But using a vessel, everyone, even the Rabbanon, will agree that it's a Torah level violation, it would be Chayav Achatas. But since, and that we saw this in Rashi, but since the source is teaching teeth removal, as far as hand removal is concerned, maybe that would be also, and I wouldn't be able to see, I don't see the Shitas Chachomim reflected over here. The Gemara continues, Uletameich, according to you that want to set it up like Rabbi Eliezer, Le Rabbi Eliezer Nami, Lishkele Nihale Biyad, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why is he not allowed to have the yabelis removed by hand? Granted that there is a need for shinui, we look at Rashi on the third wide line under the Gemara. Ulatameich, the Rebbe Elazar nami nihi de taimo mishum shinui have. Granted that Rebbe Eliezer likes you to do it in a shinui way, if you can. Nishkele nihale biyad. Let his friend remove the yabelis by hand. Even though, according to Rebbe Elazar in general, hand removal would be doraisa. Deha ika shinui. Here there is a shinui, and because the chavero is doing it. The modi Rebbe Elazar benotam lechavero shenu elishvutz. Rebbe Elazar concedes that if it's a chavero doing it, it's a shavus. It's only rabbinic. So the question says that if the Gemara is asking that even if it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, why the teeth? It could have been done by hand. Since it's chavero that's doing it, the Gemara answers, hi, my. And notice, we have a final triangle with the point facing up, so we're going to come now to reinstate Rava. Hi, my. E amrs bishlama, Rabbi Eliezer. If you say, like Rava, that the source on the top is Rabbi Eliezer, hainu de gozar yad otu kli. I understand why he's matir only teeth, because he imposes a restriction. Don't do it by hand, because if we allow you to do it by hand, which is like more normal, you'll come to do it with kli, which is the official way. And this is my svora, says Rava, that shita, that Rabbi Eliezer strives for maximum shinui, kama defshel shanui mishaninon, and teeth removal would be the extreme shinui. Elo iamris rabbonon hi, but if you want to set up that source like the rabbonon nishkalei nilei biyad, so like we tried to argue before, let it speak about hand removal, and that would then give basis for the observation made by the Amora Rebbe Lozer, that the whole machlokes Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Lozer and Chachomim is bekli, their whole machlokes is biyad and not bekli, the su lo midi, and there is nothing more to say on this matter. So what we have seen till now, just taking a bird's eye view of the sukya we've done, we opened up with a machlok, with a stira concerning, is it mutter to practice yabeles removal on Shabbos with regard to, let's say, mikdash korbonos related matters. We had a stira, and we saw four approaches to resolve the stira, and the last approach was the approach taken by Rava, setting up our Mishnah, which is lenient, like the Tano Rebbe Eliezer. And then we have to explain why is the Tano Rebbe Eliezer, who generally speaking is Mako by Machshiri Mitzvah, why does he say that the Abelis can be removed only by hand and not Bekli? So Rava explained that this is based on the concept of which is something Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to, and we had a half an Omid Gemara strengthening, we'll say, Rava's position that in fact is the explanation of Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah. Again, we're dealing with Beis Hamikdash related matters. A Kohen that has an injury on his finger, and it would be difficult for him to do the avoda with an exposed injury. Korech oleo gemi b'mikdash avolo b'medina. We allow him to wrap around it gemi. Gemi is some type of reed material. And Rashi points out, and we'll see later in the Gemara, that the gemi is something that has a medicinal value to it. And even though, in general, medicinal procedures are forbidden on Shabbos, nevertheless, we are allowing that. And why? Because his wrapping around the bruise is for tzorech avoda. And what's the tzorech avoda? What does it mean that it's needed for his service in the Beis HaMikdash? So Rashi explains, because it's not proper etiquette or manners to have an exposed wound while doing the avoda. So have it wrapped or covered in this gemi. So, but the Mishnah goes on to say that is allowed only in the mikdash of the medina, avaloba medina. It's not allowed in medina, as we mentioned, because there's a medicinal value in the gemi, and that's an Isur Durabonon, and hence prohibited outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'im lehoitzi dam kan v'kan osir. If his purpose in wrapping the gemi around the bruise is to extract blood, to have to increase blood flow, to have blood removed as through this, then even in the Beis HaMikdash that would be osir. Rashi points out, number one, that it's not Surah Havoda, and furthermore, this involves an Av Malacha. Causing blood flow is an Av Malacha. And we don't allow Av Malachas, obviously, to be done on Shabbos. Here, once again, it's not Surah Havoda. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that we call Yitur Begodim Bekoina Ove, the problem of having excess clothing on a Kohen who is doing Avodah the Beis HaMikdash. So let it be known, as the Torah prescribes, that a Kohen, common Kohen, does his Beis HaMikdash service while wearing four garments. And the four garments are spelled out in the Torah. Working or doing service in the Beis HaMikdash with excess garments, that's called Yitur Begadim, ruins the Avodah. Let us now turn to the Gemara, noting there is a very specific structure to the Gemara. You can see Roman numeral number 1, and further down the page, several lines from the bottom, Roman numeral 2, there will be two versions. And when we take a closer look at the sugya, the two versions will really manifest themselves when we focus in on Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. However, there will be a couple of Amoraic opinions that appear regarding this topic of Yitur Begadim as we continue in the Gemara. So we highlight the Shitas with diamonds. You have Rabbi Yehuda Breda, Rabbi Chiya, and shortly thereafter we'll see Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rabbi Chiya, Loi Shanu Ela Gemi. The heter of wrapping the finger is only if you're using Gemi. Avot Tzilzul Katan, but a small bantlet, Havi Yitur Begadim. In other words, Gemi is not an article of clothing. It's a piece of some type of growth, maybe reed material. But a Tzilzul Katan, which is a very small, very thin, very narrow fabric, which we can call a bandlet, is not allowed, because that's Yitur Begadim. That constitutes wearing an extra article of clothing, even though it's very small, and even though the finger that we're talking about in this discussion is not a place that you ordinarily would wear clothing. Fingers are exposed, so it's, you're dealing with Yitur Begadim b'mokoyim, which on a part of the body that's Eino Mokom Begadim. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Lo Omru Yitur Begadim, Elo b'mokom Begadim. The concept of Yitur Begadim applies only on a part of the body that you ordinarily would wear clothing. So if you wear clothing around your torso, wearing, instead of one shirt, you would wear two shirts, or wear a vest over your Kohen Ksones, or your Kohen shirt, that would be Yitur Begadim. Avol Shaloi B'moka Begadim, Lo Have Yitur Begadim. But on your finger, there is no problem whatsoever of Yitur Begadim. Now, we've written above in our marked Gemaras, in our Shas Ozer, we've written Mashma Afilu Beged Gimel Al Gimel. Even a piece of fabric that measures 3 by 3, that in general, this shiur of 3 by 3 etzbois, is considered a beged. If something that would be otherwise considered a beged is being worn on a part of the body that is not designed for wearing clothing, there is no problem of Yitur Begadim. This is Rabbi Yochanan's approach. So you can see how Rabbi Yochanan clearly argues with Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Yehuda Brei Rabbi Chiya said on the finger, even a very small article of clothing would be Yitur Begadim. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, if you're dealing with the finger, which is Shalom B'malkah B'gadim, even something large is no problem. Let us skip the brackets momentarily. Upliga de Rava. That which Rabbi Yochanan says in his base, we have Rabbi Yochanan broken down into Aleph and Beis. That which he says in his Beis point, that Shelo b'mokum begodim, you can have something even Gimel al Gimel, it's not a problem of Yitu begodim, this is at odds with Rava. The Omar Rava, and again, let's skip the brackets just to keep the logical flow tight here. Rava says, Shelo b'mokum begodim, Sholosh al Sholosh chotzitzos, Pochos mi-sholosh al-sholosh, einon chotzitzos. The term chotzitzos means yitur begodim. There, Rashi gets into why the word is used, but for our purposes, let's not be confused. But the word chotzitzos means yitur begodim. So let's focus on what we have seen just now. Shitas Rava, regarding shelo b'mokum begodim. What is his shita? That gimel al-gimel chotzitzos. Contrast that with Rabbi Yochanan. What did he say about Shelo b'mokum begodim? Use your dashed underlining to navigate. What did Rabbi Yochanan say in Rabbi Yochanan Beis? What did he say about Shelo b'mokum begodim? He says, there's no problem of yitur begodim, and we wrote in above that even Gimel al Gimel is not a problem. So Rabbi Yochanan is at odds with Rava. The Gemara continues. We'll come back to the bracketed sections that we skipped. The Gemara continues and says, Ad Rabbi Yochanan vadai pliga. That means Rava is definitely at odds with Rabbi Yochanan. Question. Now, just let's go over Rava once again. Rava said that Shelo b'mokum begodim, the specter of Yitur begodim hovers over us. Rava was willing to say that if it's pochos mishol shosholos, then it's not a problem. How does Shitas Rava stand up or contrast or compare to Rabbi Yehuda Brei d'Rabbi Chiya? So that's what the Gemara is asking now. Ad Rabbi Yehuda Brei d'Rabbi Chiya minei mapliga? Does Rava argue with, do they argue with one another? At this point, without getting into any hesberim, at this point it would seem that Rava is not as stringent as Rabbi Yehuda Brei d'Rabbi Chiya. As far as shelo b'mokum begodim, like the finger, what was Rava's position on something less than gimel al gimel? Rava says it's okay. What does Rabbi Yehuda Brei d'Rabbi Chiya suggest? He said that tzilzul katan, which is something even less than gimel al gimel, is a problem. So it would seem that Rava is at odds with Rabbi Yehuda Brei Chiya. The Gemara says, no. Shiny tzilzul katan de choshiv. Even though, in general, less than 3x3 fabric is acceptable, but a tzilzul katan is a very important, though it's very small, it's considered very significant. No one will disagree that a diamond ring is small, but it's very significant. Along the same lines, a tzilzul katan may be very small, might be a very small piece of, very small thin piece of fabric, but it has significance. And Rava will agree that even though it's less than gimel al gimel, nevertheless, because of its chashivas, it represents yitur begodim. What we try to do in Gemara markings is to maintain a logical flow of the Gemara, not get sidetracked with statements that could throw off the discussion. In this case, we had a rather intense discussion concerning yitur begodim shelo b'mokum begodim. Let's go back over the Gemara. We won't read all of the Gemara, but we'll read most of it in order to include the bracketed sections. Let's go back to the second diamond, Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan had said, Lo omru yitur begodim, elo b'mokum begodim. The problem of yitur begodim, of having extra clothing, arises only when it's on that part of the body that ordinarily one would wear the clothing, where the Kohen would wear his articles of clothing. Aval shelo b'mokum begodim, like the finger, lo havi yitur begodim. There's no problem of yitur begodim, which is mashma even something that measures gimel al gimel. The Gemara asks, this is a side question, and that's why it's in brackets. The tapel clay, why not learn out regarding everything we've said till now, whether it's the gemi or the tzilzul katan, all of those things should be a problem. The tapel mishum chatzitza. Here the word chatzitza is not to be confused with the word chotzitzos that we saw later in the Gemara. Chatzitza here means what it usually means, an interposition, a block between the flesh of the kohen that has to come into contact with the vessels of sacrificial offering that he must be touching. So if he's got something wrapped around his anatomy, a gemi or a tzotzol, is it not a chatzitza problem? So the Gemara answers, b'smol, we're talking about on his left hand, v'inami b'yamin v'shalo b'mokam avoda. It's either on his left hand. The left hand is something that is not used in service, in sacrificial service. Sacrificial service demands the use of one's right hand, so that there's no chatzitza problem, because you're talking about a bruise on the left hand. Or it might be on the right hand, but it's not a part of the hand that comes into contact with the vessels that the kohen must be in contact with. And then the Gemara went on to say, "Upliga d'Rava." We learned this already, but we read it again. That which Rabbi Yochanan says that shalom b'makom begodim, you can have even gimel al gimel, that's at odds with Rava. The Omar Rava, Omar Rav Chisda, b'makom begodim, if you're dealing with the part of the body that has that is clothed with the big day kehuna, with the kohen garments, afilu nimo achas chotzetzes, even a strand of hair, nimo is one thread, will represent a problem. The term chotzetzes, when we talk about a single thread, that would represent an interposition, a chatzitza. That's even a thread would represent a chatzitza. Shelo b'malkam begodim. However, if you're talking about a part of the body that ordinarily is not clothed, shalosh al shalosh chotzetzos. And here, as we said before, the word chotzetzos takes on a different meaning. The word chotzetzos here means represents yitur begodim, pochos mishalosh al shalosh. Einon chotzitzot. If it's less than 3x3, it doesn't represent a problem of yitor begodim. Just as far as we mentioned this earlier, but as far as the use of the word chotzitzot in these two fashions, one in interposition and secondly as yitor begodim, this is something that Rashi clearly deals with. We continue in the Gemara. After Rava tells us that if you're shalom b'mokom begodim, only 3x3 represents a problem of yitur begodim. Less than 3x3 is not a problem. Ad Rabbi Yochanan vaday pliga. As we pointed out earlier, Rava's din is clearly at odds with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was saying that shalom b'mokom begodim, there's no size restriction. Is Rav at odds with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda was saying that shalo b'mokom begodim, like on the finger, even at tzilzul katan, which is something less than shalosh al shalosh, is a problem, and Rav was saying it's not. The Gemara answers, shiny tzilzul katan dechoshiv. The case of the tzilzul katan is different in that even Rav will agree that even though it's around the finger, which is shalom b'mokom begodim, but since it has significance, it has importance, that overrides its smallness of size, and Rav will agree that the tzilzul katan, is yitor, is osir, and it's yitor begodim. Lishno achrino amri la. Now, we will notice as we go on to Lishna Achrino, we have the same names we saw till now, but to make things much easier, realize that in only one case will there be a difference in as opposed to the Lushan before. That knowledge ahead of time makes life a lot easier. So, Lishna Achrino, Omar Rebbe Huda Breid Rebbe Chia, Lo Shanu, the heter on one's finger is Elo Gemi. one puts a piece of gemi material, tzitzil katan chotzeitz. And again, the word chotzeitz, don't confuse it. Notice in the first lashon, the term yitur begadim appeared explicitly. Here, the word chotzeitz means the same thing. It means yitur begadim. So, just like we saw before, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's tzitzil katan represents a problem of yitur begadim. So, once, even though we're dealing with the finger, and the finger is eino malkum begadim, that doesn't mitigate things according to Rabbi Yehuda. There is still a problem of yitur begadim. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, lo omru chatzitza bepochos misholosh al sholosh, elo bemalkum begadim. And again, the word chatzitza means yitur begadim. Rabbi Yochanan says that the issue of yitur begadim, if you're dealing with something that's less than 3x3, that's Elo b'mokom begodim. Avol shelo b'mokom begodim. Let's take the finger as an example. Sholosh al sholosh chotzitzot. Pochos misholosh en chotzitzot. Notice, this version of Rabbi Yochanan is different than the first version. We have stars to the immediate right-hand side of the Morah text, and notice the dashed underlining. In the first star, about 8-9 lines up from the bottom, he had said, Shelo b'mokom begadim, sholosh al sholosh chotzitzot. Here, we have Shelo b'mokom begadim, like a finger, sholosh al sholosh, we must make a correction. The location of our star is not a reference to 8-9 lines up from the bottom, but further up than that. In Rabbi Yochanan, in order to see the difference in the two Lishonos, we look again at the original Rabbi Yochanan under Roman numeral number 1. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shelo b'mokom begadim, lo have yitur begadim. There is no problem of yitur begadim if it's shelo b'mokom begadim, even something shalosh al shalosh. And here we see that shelo b'mokom begadim, shalosh al shalosh chotzitzos, that 3x3 is a problem. Pochos mishalosh ein chotzitzos. Less than 3 is not a problem. And v'hainu d'rav omar av chista, this is the same thing as we saw rav omar av chista holding. So that in this approach, setting up Rabbi Yochanan as we just did under Roman numeral number 2, what did we say in Roman numeral number 1? We said, after learning Rabbi Yochanan, we said, Upliga de Rava. Here we are saying, Vehainu de Rava, showing the difference. We continue. Lema Pliga de Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Chia. This is kind of repeat of what we saw in the first Lashon. Now that we know that Rava and Rabbi Yochanan are one and the same, Rava, who is matir less than Gimel al Gimel, Shelo b'malkam begadim, like on the finger, is this at odds with Rabbi Yehuda Brei de Rav Chia, who asked even at tzitzil katan on the finger? The Gemara answers, shiny tzitzil katan de chashiv, as we saw before, that the tzitzil katan is different in that it's so important, and that even Rava will agree that it is aser. The Gemara asks, ula Rabbi Yochanan, who was matir even a tzitzil katan on the finger, Rabbi Yochanan would be, what you say, Rabbi Yochanan would be matir since it's less than 3x3, and it would appear that this would be like Rabbi Yochanan in the first Lashon, as opposed to what we just said, setting up Rabbi Yochanan like Rava, and Rava agreeing that tzitzil katan is a problem. Let's take this Gemara from the vantage point of the first Lashon of Rabbi Yochanan, where he is in contrast to Rava. Rabbi Yochanan, who allows shelo b'mokom begadim, was, let's say, who was lenient with regard to that, Rabbi Yochanan da Ashmina Gemi, instead of the Mishnah teaching that the Kohen Shalt Vespo Korech Lo Gemi, could, according to Rabbi Yochanan, could it not have taught L'shaminon Tzilzul Katan? The Tana could have taught Tzilzul Katan, which has a lot of significance, and we say, if we say that a Tzilzul Katan is mutter, then certainly Gemi would be allowed. Why did the Tana emphasize Gemi? The Gemara answers, Milsa Agav Urche Komash Malon. The Mishnah is telling us something by the way. The Gemi Masi. That Gemi has a therapeutic value, a medicinal value as well. So that's why the Gemi is the thing suggested to be wrapped around the Kohen Shalokabetz boy, the bruised finger, but not to the exclusion of the Tzilzul Katan, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda Braid Rabbi Chiya argues on that point and says only a Gemi, because a Gemi is not an article of clothing, but a Tzilzul Katan would be usur, because as an article of clothing, it represents Yitur Begodim, an extra article of clothing. Before we conclude, let us remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.